Okay, we're back on this beautiful Saturday morning. We're now going to talk about the message, or give you the message that the Father gave to Mother Eugenia to give to the bishop. The Father said, "I also want to say a word to you, my son Alexander, so that my desires may be realized in the world. You must join with the Father Confessor of this little plant of my son Jesus in promoting this work, that is, the special devotion I expect from men." What the Father is talking about here when he says this little plant, he's talking about Mother Eugenia. So he wants her Father Confessor to work with the bishop to bring this devotion to him as the father of all mankind into being. So we continue. It says, "To you, my sons, I entrust this work and its future, which is so important. Talk, persist, make my words known so that I may be known, loved, and honored by all my creatures. If you do this, you will have done what I expect of you, that is, my will, and you will have fulfilled the wishes that I have so long cherished in silence. For everything that you do for my glory, I will do twice as much for your salvation and sanctification. In the end, in heaven, and only in heaven, you will see the great reward that I will give you in a very special way, together with all those who have worked to this end. I created man for myself, and it is right that I should be all for him. Man will not enjoy true happiness except with his Father and Creator, because his heart is made for me alone. For my part, my love for my creatures is so great that I have no greater joy than of being among them. My glory in heaven is infinitely great, but my glory is still greater when I am among my children, men all over the world. Your heaven, my creatures, is in paradise, together with my chosen ones, because it is there that you will contemplate me in an everlasting vision and will enjoy eternal glory. My heaven is on earth with you all, O men. Yes, it is on earth, and it is in your souls that I look for my happiness and my joy. You can provide me with this joy, and it is also your duty towards your Creator and Father, who desires and expects this of you. The joy I feel in being with you is no less great than that which I felt when I was with my son Jesus during his mortal life. My son, it was I who sent him. He was conceived by my Holy Spirit, who I myself am. In a word, I was always I. Loving you as I loved my son, who am I myself, I say to you, my creatures, as I said to him, you are my beloved children, and in you I am well pleased. Because of this, I rejoice in your company, and I desire to stay with you. My presence among you is like the sun on the earth. If you are well disposed to receive me, I will come very close to you, enter into you, light up you, and warm you with my infinite love. As for you, those souls in a state of sin, or who are ignorant of religious truth, I will not be able to enter you. However, I will be close to you, because I never stop calling you, inviting you to desire to receive the benefits I bring you, so that you may see the light and be healed of sin. Sometimes I look at you and feel compassion for your unhappy state. Sometimes I look at you with love to dispose you to yield to the charms of grace. I spend days, sometimes years, close to some souls to be able to ensure their eternal happiness. They do not know that I am there waiting for them, calling them every moment of the day. However, I never become weary, and I still feel joy in remaining close to you, always hoping that you will return to your Father someday, and that you will at least offer me some act of love before you die. I will give you an example of a soul who is facing sudden death. This soul has always been, for me, like the prodigal son. And then he has a note by Mother Eugenia. She wrote, I saw this example as fact, exactly as our Father dictates it, and I write it. So she saw this example of this prodigal son. Said, I lavished benefits on this soul, but he wasted all these benefits, all these gifts that his most loving Father provided for him. More than this, he offended me gravely. I waited for him. I followed him everywhere. I gave him more favors, health and wealth that I caused to result from his work, to the point of superfluity. At times, my providence granted him further gifts. He therefore had plenty of everything, but he saw it all in the sad light of his vices, and his whole life was a fabric of errors because of habitual mortal sin. But my love never tired. I followed him all the same. I loved him, and most of all, in spite of his rebuffs, I was happy to live patiently close to him in the hope that maybe one day he would respond to my love and return to me, his Father and Savior. At last, his final day is approaching. I have sent him an illness in order to make him come to his senses and return to me, his Father. Time passes, and my poor son, he is 74 years old, is at his last hour. I am still there as always. I talk to him with even more kindness than usual. I persevere. I call my chosen ones and ask them to pray for him so that he may ask for the forgiveness I am offering him. And now, before breathing his last, he opens his eyes, admits his errors, and understands how far he has strayed from the true path. I apologize. That was my son calling me. So we'll pick back up with this. So the father is talking about his prodigal son, and he's on his deathbed. And the father says he recovers his senses, and in a weak voice, which none of those around him can hear, he says, my God, I can now see how great your love for me has been, and I have offended you continually with such a bad life. I never thought about you, my Father and Savior. Now you see everything, and I beg forgiveness for all this evil which you see in me and which I now discern in my confession, in my confusion. I love you, my Father and my Savior. He died at that very moment, and now here he is before me. I judge him with a paternal love. He called me Father, and he is saved. He will spend a period of time in the place of expiation, and after this he will be happy for all eternity. Having taken pleasure during his life in the hope of saving him when he repented, I now rejoice even more, together with my celestial court, at having realized my desire to be his Father forever. As for the souls who live in justice and sanctifying grace, I show my happiness by living in them. I give them myself. I transmit to them the use of my power, and through my love, they find a foretaste of heaven in me, their Father and their Savior. Okay, that is the end of the first part of the message. So we're going to stop here and then pick up with part two of the Father's message.